السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, I have mentioned on many occasions that these talks are not intended just to increase our information about Islam. Alhamdulillah, we have sufficient amount of knowledge with regards to many aspects of Islamic teachings. But unfortunately, when it comes to our practical lives, then we do not find very much of those teachings in our lives. So there is a shortage of something. There is a missing ingredient. And that missing ingredient is the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For we know very well that when a person has love for anyone, then he goes out of his way to please the beloved. Then he does not question why, what, when, what are the reasons, what is the dalil, proof. Because the person has got love. And when the person has got hatred for someone, then that person does not question anything. If the person has got hatred, then he will look for ways and means of causing injury and harm to the one that he hates. All the goodness also that is in that person will be forgotten just because of that hatred. The person will not even look at other qualities of that person. That is human nature. Whereas we should not behave in that manner. There should be a'tidal in our lives, that if a person has got some weakness, some shortcoming, or there is enmity due to some reason or the other, we must not reject all the good qualities that that person has. Of course, when it comes to the kuffar and the mushrikeen who are at war with the Muslims, then there you are not going to look at the good qualities in jihad. That person has got some very good qualities and he is my opposition now in this jihad. So therefore, I must not do anything to offend him. In Chechnya, we know that there is a war that is going on. In so many other parts of the world where jihad is taking place, proper jihad, not just picking up the sword or picking up the gun or taking the missile and going and firing on anyone. That is not jihad. There are many conditions. But wherever proper jihad is taking place, there the person is not going to look at the good qualities of the opposition. But in general matters, besides jihad, then even if it's a non-Muslim neighbor or a non-Muslim person, our dealings will be as Rasul-e-Pak has educated us to deal with them. It is not permissible for a person to just take money from a non-Muslim and say that this is war booty, so there's no need to repay the person. In fact, the payment of that person must be given far more preference than even the payment due to a Muslim person. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that he will be the wakil. He will plead on behalf of those people to whom injustice was done in this world and they did not have anybody to stand up for their rights. There is a mafhum of that hadith. So that missing ingredient is this love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, by repeatedly listening to the stories of the love that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ had for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the awliya-i-kiram have for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it lights up our hearts also to some extent. And it makes it easy for us then to practice on deen and sharia. So those who are the true ahlullah, the true walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has put noor into their kalam. Whether it is their speech, whether it is their poetry, whether it is some incident of their lives that is mentioned, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has put Noor into it. Because they were full of Noor. Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was acknowledged as a great Wali and a great Sufi, a great Buzrug and Sheikh by all the ulama of his time. Besides great, great ulama who had become bayat upon his hands, my Sheikh and Murshid Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he spent 3-4 years in his company. And he says 70,000 times he used to say Allah, Allah in one of those jungles. Daily 70,000 times. We say 70,000, it will take the whole day. Allah Ta'ala gave them so much of barakat in their time also. When Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi went there to visit him, he said that I can see the Noor in this place from the earth up to the heavens because of that zikrullah that he made. Of course, in these days we don't recommend 70,000 times, otherwise the person might end up in the asylum. Because it does not mean that anything good done in abundance is very good. There must be control. Person must take direction. We are weak. We do not have that much capacity. We do not have that strength. We will get dehydrated. Therefore, a person must take instruction and do only that much which has been prescribed, which in these times is very, very limited, 500 times, 200 times, 300 times. And all the emphasis is placed on the giving up of sins and haram, because that will get us quickly to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is so easy in these days, as my Shaykh says, to get Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's muhabbat and love and qurb, because everywhere there's nothing but temptation for a person. When he walks on the street, every second step there's temptation. Now imagine how much of jihad he has to make against his nafs. Because one place he controls his sight, he is again faced with another woman who is more scantily dressed than the first one. So at such a time now, this person is going to keep on making this jihad against his nafs. And that is where the true test of the believer is, how much of love he has got for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now imagine this person who is sacrificing his evil desires at every step. How much of qurb he must be getting, how much of closeness of Allah Ta'ala, that sweetness of iman that comes into his life, into his heart. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts that sweetness. And the first thing that that person gets after they gets the sweetness of iman is istilzazu ta'at. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts the taste and enjoyment of ta'at, that means all his ibadat, he now begins to get an enjoyment, a pleasure in it. At one time it was difficult for him. He was doing it by force. He was just making his namaz because it had to be made, it's farz. And this person was a religious-minded person. So he felt that if I'm not going to make namaz, then I will be foregoing my farz. I will be missing out on a farz duty, an obligation, a responsibility. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will punish. So as a Muslim, it's my duty to make 5 times namaz. That's about all. But now when this person gets sweetness of iman in his heart, then there is an enjoyment. He's looking forward, when can I make the next namaz? When can I make the next namaz? Because he believes that this is a communication with my beloved. So looking at this aspect, looking at this missing ingredient in our life, which is the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, many majlises, the theme was the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, many, many good reports I have had of so many young people who, after listening and they implemented in their lives the teachings of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then what kind of enjoyment they are getting now, even I don't get that kind of enjoyment. One young girl very recently dreams of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she says that I even saw the redness of his eyes, and he was addressing the Sahaba-i-Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in and telling them that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive even if the person commits sins for 30 years of his life. So then when the Sahabas questioned that, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even for 30 years if he committed sins, Allah will forgive him if he makes sincere tawbah. He said, not only 30, even if it's 70 years of his life, something to that effect. Where the message was this, that if a person in his early days of life, in his youthful days, had committed plenty of sins, then he must not despair of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy. no matter how far that person has gone, no matter what amount of sins he may have committed. But he should not think of his sins as being so much that it is beyond Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's power to forgive. Because now he is thinking of himself as, or his sins, as greater than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. That is the issue. That no matter how much his sins may be, let us say that it is in the majority. Sins are in the majority and his good deeds are in the minority. Very little good deeds. But when it comes to the rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat becomes majority and his sins become minority. But the only issue is this, that he must not on the strength of Allah being Ghafoorur Rahim go on committing sins. That is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then punishes very severely. Because Ghafoorur Rahim, I have explained many times, does not mean that the person has got now a license to commit sins and say Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. So I will commit sin, make tawbah. I will commit sin, make tawbah. Allah Ta'ala then takes away the tawfiq of tawbah. And many such people have then lost their iman prior to their death. Because they were taking advantage. They misunderstood this word Ghafoorur Rahim, or this Allah Ta'ala sifat of Ghafoorur Rahim. Ghafoorur Rahim Allah Ta'ala is, and he is prepared to forgive no matter how far, 70 years to the person committed sins, all his life. But if he says, oh Allah, I regret, I am ashamed of what I have done. I have distanced myself from you and gained nothing in the process except anxiety, worries and restlessness. And I want to turn, I'm turning towards you. I want to be yours. You make me yours and become mine. Forgive all my sins. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to forgive. Provided after that this person gives a proof of his real intention. The proof of that intention that he has sincerely repented is that now if he missed namazes, he starts making qaza. If he missed fast, he starts making qaza. If he hasn't given zakat in the past, he starts giving the zakat. If he's owing people money, or if he has stolen from someone, or if he has taken anything that does not rightfully belong to him, then now he makes sure that he starts returning or asking for forgiveness. Now that's the sign that this person has sincerely made tawbah. And those people on whom injustice has been done, then he asks them for forgiveness. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also does not forgive those sins unless this person asks for forgiveness. Yes, it is in the power of Allah Ta'ala, but we cannot know that whom Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive out of his mercy, even though he had violated certain huququl ibad. Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will show so much of palaces and Allah Ta'ala will show so much of ni'mats to those people and say, for whom is this? He said, those who forgive the rights that people violated of his. So who is going to say that, no, I want my right here? But that is a different thing altogether. But we have to show that there is definite, or there is sincerity in our tawbah. So Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who was from the Ahle Dil, person of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love and muhabbat and great status. So he states something which is very relevant to us, as I mentioned earlier, that we don't seem to find any enjoyment in our ta'at, we don't seem to find any enjoyment in our zikr, in our ibadat. Everything has become mechanical. We just want to do it for the sake of doing it and then get over it. Na wo zauq hai, na wo shauq hai, na wo kaif hai, na surur hai. Na wo zauq hai, na wo shauq hai, na wo kaif hai, na surur hai. Hai har ek cheez hi bemaza, jo nazar se apni tu dur hai. Hai har ek cheez hi bemaza, jo nazar se apni tu dur hai. He says, oh my beloved Allah, I'm just giving you the meaning, that there is no more that interest, there is no more that enjoyment, there is no more that ecstasy, that happiness, that satisfaction, there is no more that feeling, that kayfiyat in my ibadat, in my zikr, in my tilawat. Everything seems completely tasteless. There is no enjoyment in anything, not only in the ibadat, but even in my own life, there seems to be no enjoyment. There is no real happiness. I can have everything with me, plenty of money, very beautiful palatial home and mansion, beautiful gardens, flowing springs of water, orchards, everything, children, but there seems to be that emptiness, that vacuum in my life. There is something that's missing. There seems to be no enjoyment, no pleasure, true pleasure we are talking about. We're not talking about that mujrimana lazzat, where the person is committing sins and he seems to be finding some pleasure at that moment. Because the moment he has finished with that sin, then ask that person what is the condition of the person's heart. Ask all those people who have got illicit love relationships that immediately after separation from that so-called beloved, which is nothing but deception, what is the feeling of the heart? Nothing but restlessness, anxiety, worries, connection with the fire of Jahannam immediately. So he says that there is no, and this is actually for us, not that he was experiencing this. Alhamdulillah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him that enjoyment. Otherwise, which person will make 70,000 times Allah Allah if there was no enjoyment in it? So he says everything is tasteless from the time that you are away from my sight. Oh Allah, when you moved away from my sight, when my gaze and my sight was now on nothing but the worldly things, the material things. Again I repeat, because it must not be misunderstood, Allah Ta'ala has created the entire universe. In reality it has been created for none but the believers. Everything in this universe is for the believers. The disbelievers are merely making use of it as tufelis. In other words, they are using it because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created it for the believers. So they too are making use of these ni'mats. Because the day there's going to be nobody left to say Allah, Allah ta'ala will destroy the whole universe. Clearly indicating that it has been created for the believers to make use of, to make their akhirat. Make use of this world to make your akhirat. Therefore one wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, that first, in the early stages, the person curses his hands, curses his eyes, curses his feet, because they are tempting him all the time to going towards haram. His gaze is inviting him towards haram. His hands are inviting him towards haram. His lips are inviting him towards haram. His feet are inviting him towards haram. But when this person suppresses those evil desires and passions, and he goes on and on making the effort, then the time comes when he begins to kiss his own hands. And he begins to kiss his own feet. And he says, oh my lips, if it was possible, I would have kissed you too. Because now these lips are the means of getting Allah. Because those lips which were engaged in haram are now engaged in subhanallah, alhamdulillah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Those same lips. He says, if it was possible for me to kiss you, oh my eyes, I would have kissed you too. For these very eyes are now the means of my seeing my beloved Allah. Getting the closeness of my beloved Allah. Those eyes which I controlled over a period of time, now those same eyes have become the means of building this relationship and contact with Allah. So in the early days there is that little mujahada, but after that the person now appreciates and he thanks all these parts of his body. That same wealth of his now he appreciates. So it is not that we are deprived, it is not that we are told not to make use of these things. But we should not use it in Allah Ta'ala's disobedience. That is our weakness. Allah Ta'ala is the provider and we use everything for his disobedience. So he says, na wo zauq hai, na wo shauq hai, na wo kaif hai, na surur hai. Hey, har ek cheez hi be maza. Jo nazar se apni to dur hai. Oh Allah, everything is tasteless from the time that you are away from my sight. When you are far away from my sight, everything is tasteless. Tera zikr hai, teri yaad hai, tera naam, tera payam hai, tera tera zikr hai teri yaad hai tera naam tera payam hai ye agar naseeb teri raza to ye hijr jaane huzoor hai oh allah your remembrance oh allah your name oh allah your message all these things If only I can get via all these things your remembrance and your pleasure, then even though I may be far from you, but I am close to you. Physically the person's body may be far away, but spiritually he is close to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So the most important thing is this recognition of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's presence, Allah Ta'ala's omnipotence, Allah Ta'ala's greatness, Allah Ta'ala's azmat, Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifat and yaqeen. When we get that, then it becomes easy after that. To make namaz 5 times a day, to give zakat, to go for hajj, to keep fast, to stay away from haram. All these things become a pleasure after that, when the person has got the love of Allah Ta'ala in his heart and the closeness. Teri yaad dil ki meri ghiza Tera naam rooh ki hai shifa Teri yaad dil ki meri ghiza Tera naam rooh ki hai shifa Tera bhoolna meri maut hai Tera zikr haasle toor hai Teri yaad dil ki meri ghiza Tera naam rooh ki hai shifa Tera bhoolna meri maut hai Tera zikr haasle toor hai Oh Allah, the food of my heart is your remembrance. It is a cure, it is a cure for the sicknesses of my spiritual self. All the spiritual diseases and sicknesses that I am suffering from. The reason for that is that there is a lack of your remembrance. If there was your remembrance, both the positive and the negative, then my heart should not have been in this state. Filled with pride, with arrogance, with malice, with greed, with jealousy, with envy, with evil desires and passions. What have we made of our hearts? Do we x-ray our hearts? No doubt the doctors have got many x-rays, machines, and they can x-ray everything now. The best x-ray machines. Any kind of sickness can x-ray and we can get some results. So who is going to x-ray our hearts? The eyes of the Ahlullah are the x-rays of our hearts. They can tell us what is in our hearts. From our character, from our akhlaq, not from our namazes, not from our zikr and tilawat. Plenty of namaz we can make. Tahajjud, ishraq, chasht, awwabin. But a person must just sway us and see after that what is the condition of our selves. See our anger, what temperature we reach. And yet we will say that I am a very, very humble person. Main to ek nakara hoon. Ahqar hoon. Ghareeb nawaz hoon. We will call ourselves very, very humble, simple. So they will tell us how much of pride there is in there, how much of arrogance there is in there, how much of lust and evil desires and passions there is in there, and how much of jealousy and envy, that we just cannot see how much of any namah that is given to anybody else. If a person is reading beautifully, we got jealousy. If a person is eating good food, we are jealous. If the person is wearing good clothes, we are jealous. If the person is driving a good car, we are jealous. If the person has got a good home, we are jealous. Ladies too, full of jealousy. That woman has got more jewelry than I have. That woman has got better clothes than I have. Especially when they are living in the same home. And they are the wives of two brothers. or three or four brothers. Then there's all the time that comparison. One is to desire and to make dua that, Ya Allah, just as you have blessed that person, bless me too. That is not jealousy. That is permissible. As long as that person is not using it for haram purposes. But where the person is desirous that some harm must come upon this person, somehow he must be defeated, somehow he must fail. Hazrat Maulana Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, one alim mentioned to him prior to making his islah. So it shows how important it is even for people like us who are known to be ulama, whereas we are not even worthy of the dust on the shoes of the real ulama. But then too, he says that this alim mentioned that how much of jealousy he had. He says that he went on one occasion they invited another alim to give a talk. And they did not give him any topic beforehand, because that alim was well known as a very good learned alim. So he says, just to cause embarrassment and shame, last minute when he was there in the jalsa, he said, we gave him a topic. Let's speak on this topic. Now, although the person is an alim, but it does not mean that he has everything in his head all the time. There are certain topics where the person may have to make a research. So he says, niyat meri faqat yehi thi ke kisi tarike se ye nakam ho jaye aur sab ke samne iski zillat ho jaye. He says, ab dekhiye. He says, now look at this. This was the intention in the heart, but on the outside, on the surface of it, it seemed as if this person had great appreciation of that person's knowledge, and therefore he invited him to give a talk. Then he says, another person was giving a bayan, and in the congregation, while giving bayan, when this person was taking a bit of breath, so that person thought he's running out of topic now, running out of mazmoon. So he said, dekhiye ab inka koila pani khatam ho raha hai, he's running out of steam now. So he says, what kind of a state of are we in? Where the people are now testing it, the bayans and all these things are no more for amal. It is just as a test. So he says, this jealousy, it is such a thing that it eats up the person from inside. Again, this Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he is the one who mentioned that beautiful couplet about jealousy. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you jealous? Why are you burning yourself in the fire of jealousy? Why are you moving towards the fire of Jahannam by means of this jealousy? Are you unhappy and disappointed with this distribution of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Do you have a problem that why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala distributed it in this manner? Why he didn't consult you? Why he didn't make you a member of his parliament and cabinet and discuss with you first that who must I give? How much must I give? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you rubbing your palms? So this is what jealousy does. Now jealousy, envy, malice, pride, greed, all these things are in the heart. So therefore, Hazrat Maulana Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh says that, Teri yaad dil ki meri ghiza. Oh Allah, your remembrance is the food of my heart. Both positive and negative. Positive namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, tilawat, charities, all the good things. Hajj, umrah. And negative, the giving up of haram, the giving up of haram, which is the most important thing. That we cannot become walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala until we don't give up haram. Yes, accidental sins, even lifelong a person can keep committing. A person has his car in good condition, he had it panel beaten, all the dents were removed, he just drives, accident again. Again he gives it, and he is driving carefully, he is watching the road, he has made sure that everything is in good condition, but again, slip of the mind, or some fault, or somebody comes and hits again, and the person has to go back to the penalty. So like that, if he has to go a dozen times, nobody will call him mad and stupid and foolish. But our condition is, as I mentioned in the other one of the bayans, after Ramadan, that Ramadan was intended to remove all those dents that we had on our spiritual bodies. That was the purpose of Ramadan. That all these dents that we had of pride, of malice, of greed, of evil passions and desires, and jealousy and envy, all these things had dented our spiritual selves to such an extent that we had no taste and enjoyment in any ibadat, zikr, tilawat. We had no concern of sharia and of deen. So now this month of Ramadan, all these dents were removed. And then we were given our bodies back, spiritual bodies, in showroom condition. But then what do? Purposely we go and smash it. So this person who has just received his car from the panel beaters in showroom condition, and he says that just because I have a good panel beater next door, so let me go and smash again, what does it matter? So everyone in the world will say that this is a stupid person. So we too were given that opportunity. How much of namaz we made, zikr we made, tilawat we made, fajr namaz, this masjid was packed right up to the end there. But the moment the moon of Eid is sighted, then it seems that we are now going to wait until the next year. And we do not know whether we are going to see the next year's Ramadan. All of us who are very hopeful that again when Ramadan comes, then we will reform ourselves and change our lives. But we know that people died on the eve of Ramadan. On the eve, just before the sighting of the moon, Israel alayhi salatu wasalam extracted their souls. So we do not know whether our name is already in the list of the dead ones. On Shab-e-Barat, it doesn't state the list of those who are going to die. The list that is given to the angels, it doesn't state those who are going to die. It says that names are put into the list of the dead ones. The person is planting, but his name is in the list of the dead. The person is marrying, but his name is in the list of the dead. That means it's possible after marriage he may still live for another couple months too. But as far as that list is concerned, in the hadith what is mentioned is the list of those that are dead. So we do not know if on the 15th of Shaban, which went past, our name is also in the list of the dead. We could be breathing, we could be walking, talking, jumping, laughing, and conducting our businesses and doing everything. And it is not haram, it is permissible to even plan ahead. You can plan 10 years ahead, we can plan 50 years ahead. And a Muslim is one who does planning. Planning is essential. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam planned ahead. But to trust in those plans, to trust that we will see the fruits of those plans, that is the dangerous thing, that we are quite confident that we will live for another 50 years, 100 years. Whereas we do not know where our name is. So he says, Teri yaad dil ki meri ghiza. Your remembrance, O my Allah, is the food of my soul. Our bodies need food. If we do not eat for a few days, then we will get weakness. And all of us, when we see a person who is weak, the person is sick, the person hasn't eaten for some time, then we say, kuch kha lijiye, thoda sa kha lijiye, taake badan mein kuch taqat aa jaye. Eat a little, so that you get a little bit of strength in your body. The doctors too will say, must eat a little. So we recognize that food is important for the health of the body. So the spiritual body also requires food. And the food for the spiritual body is zikrullah, tilawat, obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the ghiza of the body, of the spiritual body. If we starve the spiritual body, then just as the person who starves his physical body, then he suffers a lot of sicknesses and weakness. Those people who go on what they term as starving diet, but when they go and protest, when they are protesting, they hunger strike. So after some days, they say the person's hearing has failed. The person's sight has been affected. The person's speech is now affected. Everything becomes affected. After a number of days, when they are on hunger strike, then everything becomes affected. The hearing, the speech, the sight, the body, of course, is already very weak. So in the same way, when we starve the heart of its spiritual food, the zikrullah, the connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then after some time, everything becomes affected. That is when all these sicknesses arise in that heart. When the person does not retain and maintain that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via obedience to them, via zikr, tilawat, ibadat, fulfillment of the rights of the old, of the young, of the parents, of the children, of the wives, all the fulfillment of these rights is also ghiza, it is food. So when this person does what he has been ordered to do and stays away from haram, then that spiritual heart remains in good condition. So he says, Tera zikr hai, teri yaad hai, tera naam, tera payam hai. Hey, agar naseeb teri raza, to ye hijr jaane huzoor hai. Teri yaad dil ki meri ghiza, tera naam rooh ki hai shifa. Tera bhoolna meri maut hai, tera zikr haasil tur hai. Tera bhoolna meri maut hai. Oh Allah, forgetting you is my death. The death of the body will come whenever it will come. But if I have forgotten you, then I am already dead. That person must consider himself to be dead. The Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Awa man kana maitan fa ahyaynahu. So there too, we are told that the person is dead if he does not have Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's remembrance, if he is not a believer in Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that person is dead. So we may have Iman. We have got Iman. We believe in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We believe in the Day of Judgment. But we have to give practical expression to this. There must be some signs that we truly believe in the Day of Judgment. And what is the sign that the person truly believes in the Day of Judgment? Is that he restrains himself from haram. Because he fears that he has to stand before Allah and give an account of his doings. He may have escaped the sight of his parents, of his teachers, of his brothers and sisters, of his family members. He could have committed those sins in the privacy of his home, or in the hotel rooms, or anywhere else. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was watching. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The person who feared standing before Allah on the Day of Judgment, he feared standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and giving an account. And he restrained his nafs from its evil desires and passions. Desires which are permissible, if you do it for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, according to the Quran and Sunnah, it even becomes ibadat. The person is desirous of eating food, and he eats according to the sunnah, he eats according to what the Shariat allows him to eat. And he makes the niyat that when I eat, the strength that will come in my body, then I will use it for ibadat, for zikr, for tilawat, for earning halal livelihood, and for fulfillment of the rights of my wives and my wife and children. So now it becomes ibadat. Here what is meant is that passions which are haram, the person restrains himself. Then jannat is his abode, where there will be no restriction of any kind. It's just a question of few years, of few minutes, of few months, Allah Ta'ala knows best, in which we have to restrain ourselves. And then, Jannat is Jannat. Whenever we will get it, we will get it, inshallah. But here, Allah Ta'ala straight away gives that person Jannat in his heart. Again, Mana ke meer, gulshan-e Jannat to dur hai, arif hai magar dil mein khaliq-e Jannat liya hua. So Jannat can be far away, but this person has got Khaliq of Jannat in his heart. So if he's got Khaliq of Jannat, he's got all the ni'mats of Jannat in his heart. That is immediate. So So he says, Teri yaad dil ki meri ghiza, Tera naam rooh ki hai shifa. When I take your name, it is the cure for the spiritual diseases of my heart. Tera bhoolna meri maut hai. To forget you, O Allah, is my death. If a person forgets Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he must consider himself dead. And when the person is dead, then what do? We bury the person. We haven't heard so far of anybody very desirous of retaining the body of the beloved deceased in the home. They may embalm and preserve, but that too they will put it in the museum or somewhere else. But we haven't heard of the husband saying that I dearly loved my wife, so I embalm her body and leave it next on that same double bed. Have we heard of any? So we bury the person. This is what happens when our spiritual lives are dead. Then we must blame ourselves if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system, where there's earthquakes, tremors, gale force winds, flood waters, bringing about tremendous amount of destruction, then what else is expected when the hearts are dead? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to remember him in abundance and give us the tawfiq to lead a life which is pleasing to him and stay away from everything that is displeasing to him and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الابرار اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما خطاؤں کو معاف فرما لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطوان ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما ہمیں صحت عافیت سلامتی عزت راحت نصیب فرما جو بیمار ہے ان کو شفاء تامہ کامل عطا فرما جو پریشان حال ہے ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما جو مصیبت زدہ ہے ان کی مصیبتوں کو دور فرما جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کا اولاد صالح نصیب فرما جن کو تو اولاد دے چکا ان کو نیک اور والدین کے فرما بردار اور تیرے حکموں پر چلنے والی اولاد بنا دین کے کام جس لائن سے بھی ہو رہے ہیں سب کو قبول فرما کام کرنے والوں کو اخلاص کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما حسد سے کبر سے ریا سے فخر سے اور ہر قسم کی حرام سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما جو انتقال کر گئے ان کی پوری پوری مغفرت فرما جنت الفردوس کے اندر اعلیٰ مقامات عطا فرما اور جب ہمارا اس دنیا سے جانے کا وقت آ جائے تو خاتمہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ پر فرما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالی علی خیر خلقه سیدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.